Blog Talk Radio.
Change me, oh God. Make me more like you. Wash me through, create me a clean heart, so that I may worship you.
That's Tamela Mann with Change Me. That song is still powerful. I don't know about you, but I always enjoy it. Anyway, God bless you, and welcome to another live broadcast of God's Word to Man. I am your host, Brother Manny, and tonight is topic night, or call-in night, or discussion night, dialogue night, whatever you want to call it. Tonight we have another interesting topic. What's the title of our topic tonight? Just what kind of Christian are you? Just what kind of Christian are you? Now, I want you folks to call in if you have an opinion, if you have a question. But I don't want anybody's feelings to be hurt tonight, because that's not our intention. That's not the purpose of this dialogue. I just, you know, I kind of wonder, can non-believers tell the difference between sinners and saints? I mean, based on what you see going on in the church today, quote unquote, everyone thinks that this is the end time that we're living in. But oftentimes we see ministries and we see churches and we see so-called Christians who are dressed and speaking like the world, like they are not Christians. They are not born-again believers. And I just am wondering, is it a cultural thing? Is it just how the church looks today, because a lot of the older saints have passed on? Is there a standard that most churches are living by? We're going to talk about all that and more today. And, of course, I'm not going to be alone running my mouth. You don't want to hear me talking all day. I have my brothers with me, and I'm going to bring them on shortly. I just want to give that number out for all those who are listening that may want to call in. If you just want to listen and I come to you, just say you want to listen. If you have a comment or question, don't hesitate to call in. That number is 563-999-3552. Again, that number is 563-999-3552. 5:2. I'm going to bring on my brothers here. My first brother I'm bringing on is my eldest brother. God bless you, Brother Nate. Are you there?
Yes, I am. God bless you.
God bless, bro. Glad to have you on again. Glad to be on here with you.
Amen.
Exciting topic, and I know that our next speaker wants to get started, and that, of course, is our brother, Pastor Joseph C. Murphy. He's the founder and pastor of the Caring Church of Memphis. God bless you, Rev. Are you there?
God bless you, Brother Manny. How are you doing today?
Oh, man, I'm excited. I'm excited. When we talked about this topic, hey, man, I'm kind of excited about it because it's something that I've noticed that's been going on, and, you know, I kind of want to have that discussion. I mean, is the culture of the modern-day church, is it changing the way it looks, you know? Is it the same message? Maybe we shouldn't look at how it looks. I don't know. I would love to discuss this, and I know we have a scripture. We always come from scripture. But I want us to open up first with prayer, if you don't mind, Rev. Can you lead us in a short prayer to open us up here?
Amen. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you once again for this opportunity to come be for your people, Father God, with a word from your word, Father God, a word, God, of love, God, but of transformation. And so, God, we ask that you prepare the hearts and minds of your people, that they will be receptive. We also ask, God, that you would be with the three of us, God, as we speak, and even those who may come and call in. And so, God, just have your way on this line, on this evening, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I want to give each of you brothers an opening statement. And, I mean, it is sort of a fiery topic, very controversial, because some people will say, well, y'all ain't doing nothing but judging folks. So I want to kind of give an opening comment to the both of you, and I'm going to start with you, Pastor. Go ahead. Why did you think this was important to speak about today? And I want to just give our scripture. Our scripture is coming out of 1 Corinthians 6 chapter. 1 Corinthians 6 chapter. And I'm going to let Pastor talk about what verses and other scriptures he wants to read out of. But go ahead, Pastor, with your opening comment.
Hey, man. I was listening to a pastor on YouTube. I guess he was down on Bill Street, and he was witnessing. And another young man came up who was a Hebrew Israelite, and he basically began to challenge the pastor on what he was saying. And what it kind of just put me in mind of was that there are people out here who kind of just view Christianity a particular way. You know, they view it as either it's a white man's religion, or it's an inferior religion to whatever they might believe, whether it's Islam, Hebrew, Israelite, whatever the case may be. But they don't just arrive at these places of understandings just all by themselves. They kind of see you know, a direction that's coming from people who say that they are within the body of Christ, that are professing to be Christians. And they don't necessarily see a level of what the Bible may say lining up with the way people may be behaving or speaking. And so it begins to bring us to a place where we see a picture of Christianity that really has been brought under attack, but really it's from within. And so it's decided that throughout these years that they want to make Christianity be whatever they feel it can be, like it's pliable, like, you know, it can be a version of this or a version of that, when really the truth of the matter is the word Christian means to be Christ-like. So I would dare ask anybody to look at their behavior, conversation, whatever, you know, may have you, and ask yourself, that's the measuring stick. I heard you use the word judging. And you're right, a lot of people may misconstrue this as if we're judging somebody or somebody's walk, but it has nothing to do with judging anyone, but it has everything to do with all of us, us included, measuring up to that word Christian. Am I Christ-like? Is this something Christ would be doing? Is this something Christ would be saying? So that's my opening statement.
Amen. Brother
Amen.
Nathaniel?
Amen. Amen. Well, Pastor has basically took the words right out of my mouth for the most part. But I would just add on to what he was saying, especially about being a Christian. As he said, I went and looked up the word Christian, and it says, it's the original Greek word for Christian is Christianos, which comes from two Greek words, Christ and Ten. The word Christ means anointed, and Ten means little. So the word Christian literally means little anointed one, because, as you know, during Jesus' walk through this earth, he was called the Messiah or the anointed one. So it just backs up what the pastor said about us being Christ-like. Jesus was the Messiah. He was the anointed one. And if we are Christians, we are the little anointed ones. We're supposed to be emulating our lives as Christ. And we don't see that. But those people who say they are Christians, who want to be in church, pray, saying hallelujah, pastor says, speaking Christianese, and then you get out of church, and there's somebody cussing somebody out because they was too close to their car, or did you see such and such what they had on? But we're all supposed to be Christians. We're all supposed to be striving to be more like Christ each and every day that he allow us to be on this earth. But do we see that? Is that emulated? So that gives other people the reason to put Christianity down, saying that, oh, that's just some fad that they're going through. That's something. It's not really a real religion, you know. So, you know, that's my pick on it, the comment right there so far.
Amen. Amen. You know, I thank God for Jesus, because when the Father sees us and we profess the name of Christ and we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord, our owner, our Savior, it's something special. It's unique,
mm-hmm.
and it's extraordinary. You're part of a special sect of human beings in this world that belong to God. I know a lot of people,
mm-hmm.
they like to say that we are all God's children, but, you know, that's not a true statement. I know I'm going to mess up some folks' theology tonight, but this particular topic is near and dear to my heart, because I grew up in the church. I was born and raised in church. Like many of you that may be listening, I was born and raised in church, and you were as well. And if you were born and raised in church, in a church that really taught holiness and being holy and righteous and living your life in right standing according to God's word, you know the truth. But I think that today's Christians have made it so comfortable, the name of Christ, and still live like you want to live. We've made it so easy to do so. There was a time where there was just a certain way you couldn't walk in church. There was a certain behavior that was unacceptable in church. In fact, a lot of those deacons and ushers were so so doggone strict. If you were laughing and you turned and you looked at them, they had a scowl on their face that was just, you were scared straight. You would turn your head and look forward because you knew you had that mom or that grandmother that would snatch you by the arm or in the collar or pop you if you were acting up in church, and you would just straighten up and fly right. And I think that the reverence for God is lost, and it's been replaced, not all places, but in some ministries, it's been replaced with this very carnal, worldly version of being a Christian. And that's my opening statement. I'm going to go ahead again. If you have a comment or a question, you can call in. The number is 563-999-3552. I'm going to go ahead and come back to you, Rev.
Amen. So let's just dive right in. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and we were looking at verse 19 and 20. And verse 19 says, I'm going to read from the English Standard Version. It says, or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? It is a temple. But don't get it twisted. You don't say, but do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? Then he goes on to say, you are not your own. You are not your own. You are not your own. So let's take a look at this real quick. He says here, let me explain to you what your body is. Okay? Your body is a sanctuary. It's a temple. It's a building that has been designed by God, and you've been given the Holy Ghost. He is inside of your body. And it is our responsibility as Christians to make sure that we are, wherever we go, keeping in mind that we are possessors of the Holy Spirit. Now, if we really understood what our temples were, we would guard ourselves a couple of different things. Because it's not just about sin, even though that is a part of it, but it's about any abuses that we do to our bodies, because, and it's not even just our physical body, it's also a supernatural thing as well, right? And so when you understand that I've been selected by God to have the privilege of the Holy Spirit down inside of me, it should make us want to think differently about how we live our lives. And what I love about this is God does not leave us. He didn't just save us and then throw us to on our own ability and say, go somewhere, sit down and read the word until Jesus come back. No, he gave us something. Let me back up. He gave us a magnificent thing in he, Holy Spirit, because it is the Holy Spirit, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, that will give us the ability, if we allow it, to not only live right, but then have access to God at a level we can't otherwise have it. And so when people start talking, when people start talking about people judging them, no, it's not. It's not even about judging. Like when we come into the understanding of something, then we should soak it up and we should wring it out for every bit of whatever we can get. I tell you, it's like this. It's like having your favorite whatever, let's say car, and you've never read the manual. So there's some things that your car does that you don't even know it does because you haven't read the manual. But when you read the manual, now you can get the full benefit of what your car does. It's no different with the Holy Spirit. When I understand through the reading of God's word, the biblical manual, when I understand what the Holy Spirit is inside of me to do, to empower me to do, to embolden me to do, and how to live, and then have access to God at a level that I otherwise can't have it, then my heart posture changes, and I don't even have a desire anymore to live crazy. I don't have a desire anymore to take the Holy Spirit to someplace I know I have no business taking him. And so it's not about, I want Christians, I want people, church folks, to get that out of their head about somebody judging and this and that, and everybody got something that they're doing. That has nothing to do with it. God left us the Holy Spirit to help us stay on track so we can maintain a level of access that we can't otherwise have without it. And when God began to reveal this to me, when I began to get this revelation, I'm telling you, it changes your desire and it inspires you to want to live your best life. God trusts me with the Holy Spirit. That means something.
Amen.
Amen, Brother Nathaniel. Oh, I'm sorry, Reverend.
Amen.
Go ahead.
So he says that it is the temple, and your temple is responsible for hosting the Holy Spirit. Now, this is what kind of also blessed me. When you understand the Holy Spirit is not lacking anything that the rest of the Trinity possesses. In other words, the Holy Spirit is omnipresent. It's in you. It's in me. It's in everyone who's a child of God. It's omniscient. It knows everything. I'm sorry. He knows everything, and he's all powerful. Now, that should bless us right there, right? The fact that we're carrying around something that is so powerful and so wise that, man, I can't fail if I allow myself to stay connected with what I'm carrying. If I allow myself to stay so connected to what God has placed on the inside of me, man, it's nothing but 100% victory. And I wrap it up. I wrap this piece up with this. He says, you're not your own. Listen, when it's all said and done, we belong to either God or Satan. We are either free, walking in God, or a slave to sin, living a life of the devil. There is no in-between. And it's time for the people in the body of Christ to understand there is no in-between. There is no straddling the fence, as it were. He says, you are not your own, so therefore you belong to somebody. And the question you have to ask yourself, I don't have to judge you. The question you have to ask yourself, because your fruit is telling on you or your lack thereof. The question you have to ask yourself is, who do I belong to? Just like you can't be a little pregnant, you can't belong to God a little bit and belong to the devil a little bit. And if you belong to God, there is a standard. There is a way you should be acting, and God has given you the Holy Spirit inside of you to help you achieve that. Go ahead.
Amen. 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 And I just want to add on to that is that we have to understand that first and foremost, going back to the book of Genesis, God said, let us create man in our own image. And God is holy. So we are smaller versions of him. So that means we are supposed to have kept our bodies holy as well, though Adam and Eve messed that up. But then he sent something to correct that, which was his son. And when his son had to return unto his father, as Pastor has mentioned, he sent us the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit abides in all of us. And if we're supposed to be an emulation, a smaller version of God, and he created these bodies as a temple to house the Holy Spirit, then we're supposed to keep these bodies holy as well, to the best of our abilities. And like Pastor said, it doesn't necessarily mean about sexual immorality. Food is immorality when you overeat and you abuse your body. For me, not only food, but alcohol. When you overdo, you abuse your body. And I was guilty of that, but I was calling myself a Christian. So how are you abusing the temple that God gave you to house the Holy Spirit, which, as he said, God gave you this body. It's not yours. He can call it back at any time. This is a temporary housing, and what we're supposed to take care of it, like we're supposed to take care of our homes. When you see plaster falling off your walls, if you don't own a building, you call the landlord. Or you call maintenance to fix it. The same way you're supposed to do with your body. When something is not right, you're supposed to fix it. And we're supposed to fix it with the God, with the Holy Bible, with the Word of God. We're supposed to maintain these temples for the Holy Spirit to receive God's Word when we read it and he speak to us through the Holy Spirit, to better understand what he needs us to do, because we all have a calling. You know, but like I said, a lot of people want to say they are Christians, but do they really know what that means when they say they are Christian? Do they really understand? And it's not about judging. Who should really judge is we should judge ourselves. We need to look at the man in the mirror, as the song says, and see if we are really being what we say we are. All right, Brother Manny, go ahead.
Amen. What the both of you are saying is so true. I like what you use, that analogy you used about cleaning up your house. But I also want to be transparent, like we often do, and Pastor always talk about transparency, being real. Let's be real.
Mm-hmm.
Some of us treat our walk with God like we treat our house. We nasty. Amen? We nasty.
Amen.
You know it's nasty. Your house is nasty. You got roaches. You got mites. You leave the dishes in the sink. You got garbage piled up high. You're hoarders. Your house is nasty, and that's how your life is. I understand, yeah. Brother Manny on here, he judging Christian. He judging. No, judge yourself. I want you to take inventory right now. Just like your house, you treat your relationship with God the same way. And when you're about to have company, you know what we do? We hurry up and start cleaning. We'll disinfect this. We'll put stuff in the closet. We'll clean up those dishes, because when we got somebody important coming, guess what? We don't want them to know we live in nasty. We live in foul. And that's how we do, God. Until that pain hit our body, we nasty. Until we need something. Yeah. And then we want to quote scripture. We want to read the Bible from front to back, cover to cover. We want prayer all the time. When you're in trouble, I like this. My sister Jeanette, she says this all the time. She used to tell one of the brothers in the church, "I don't know how to pray. How are you supposed to pray? What you supposed to say?" And the brother told her, "Oh, you don't know how to pray? Okay,
wait for the right pain to hit your body. You will. And that's how we live our lives. Let's be honest,
right,
brothers
right.
and sisters. Many of you out here have God and a relationship, so-called relationship with Christ, claiming you're a Christian for the purposes of just telling people you go to church, for just telling people you're a Christian so people don't look too close. They don't examine you too close. Oh, yeah, she go to church. She pray. Yeah, she go to church. She a part of so-and-so church over there on so-and-so, so-and-so. Oh, yeah, he be on that, you know, he reads his Bible, he preach. But let's just be honest. You're doing everything that the world does. What's the difference? I'm asking the question. What kind of Christian are you? Are you living the life that's outlined in the Bible today? The life that God has commanded us to live? He said, I'd rather you be hot or cold. I'm not going to get into too much scripture because I don't know what pastor I got for, but he said, I'd rather you be hot or cold and not lukewarm. We out here wearing what we want to wear, saying what we want to say out our mouth, and then have the nerve, the audacity. What's your saying, Rev?
The audacity.
What's next after audacity?
The unmitigated gall.
The unmitigated gall.
The unmitigated
gall. To say that you're a Christian, and you know people out here, they know. People not stupid. They see you. They see your fruit. They understand. And that's why I wonder, can non-believers really tell the difference? The Bible tells us how we'll know that we belong to Christ. Are you displaying that, what the Bible outlines? You know, or are you just, you know, got a relationship with God, got a relationship with Jesus Christ as sort of a backup plan just in case, you know, things happen? That's a real question. Are you a just-in-case Christian? I want to know. Mm-hmm. Call in, 563-999-3552. Be honest. Are you a just-in-case Christian? Go ahead, Pastor.
No, that's good. We have a comment from First Lady.
You guys were talking about how you start to clean up the mess when you know people are coming over. No matter how you clean up the nastiness, that stench is still there. We may think that we've, you know, cleaned it up. We're trying to hide it. But, you know, once your house has a certain smell to it, and when you're in it, you become immune to it. But when others from the outside come in, they can smell what you don't smell. So no matter how you try to clean up the nastiness, that stench, in this case of sin, is still there. It's still going to be shown or seen.
And I want to speak to something because the Holy Spirit was talking to me while y'all was talking. And why is it that when God gives us to speak his word, and the devil, I know it's the devil that starts speaking into people's ears and telling them, okay, well, they're being judgmental. No, listen, the Bible said that God loves, he corrects those he loves. And so the fact of the matter is our responsibility is to bring the truth. And then one of the big things is when we're not talking, when people are not talking about us judging, then they're saying stuff like, well, you had a past. You know, you used to be A, B, and C. You know, you wasn't always this or that. And that's a fact. You're right. I did not always have a desire or posture, heart posture to live for God or to do right. And I was in church. And, yes, I had a title, reverend, and I had a title, pastor. And, yes, I did wrong. But as I've allowed the Holy Spirit to cleanse me and come into a greater understanding, I'm not trying to come off like somebody who was never that way. But what I am saying is it's time for us to be free.
And for those who are in the body of Christ who don't get that, you do need to check and see if you're operating in pure religion or a relationship with God. Because at the end of the day, we are supposed to use the word of God to grow and to get to a place where we can have ultimate access to the kingdom of God while we're yet still here on earth. And we can't do that if our heart is not set on pleasing God as best as we can. And the Christian church, that's why we're under attack, because nobody takes us serious. You don't hear people making fun of the Muslims, of Islam, because even though we may not agree with their rhetoric, they're disciplined in what they do. Not everybody agrees with the Jehovah's Witness, but they're disciplined in what they do. And there are a lot of churches, Christian churches, that are disciplined, but it's not enough of us that are disciplined the way we need to be. And we're out here chasing any and everything instead of keeping in mind that our greatest witness is how we live our life, how we comport ourselves as we go throughout our journey, and people looking at us, not what we're saying, listening to us, but looking at how we live our lives now. Yes, people can say all they want about what Joseph used to be, what I used to be. And that's a compliment to me that they say that's what I used to be, because they can't say that's what I'm doing now. And that's what we're on here doing tonight, trying to encourage the body of Christ to stop trying to see how close we can get to sin without sinning, and to stop cheating ourselves, because that's ultimately what we're doing, is that we're robbing ourselves from access to God. Paul says here in verse 20, again, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20, he says, "For you were bought with a price. God invested in us." This is not just some haphazard relationship. This is not something God was just so bored he decided to do. No, God invested in us. And what he invested was extremely valuable. He gave his only begotten son to shed his precious blood. Why his blood? Because his blood was the only thing that was going to redeem us back unto him. Now, if his blood saves us, and it does, and we're still living raggedy lives, then what were we saved from? And so, you know, we need to just make sure we understand that we were bought with a price. He says, so glorify God in your body. In other words, since God has invested such a great deal in us on how to live, what to say, what to think, then we ought to have a desire, a heart posture, to make sure we're just doing our best. I didn't say somebody was perfect. We're not talking about people being perfect, because there are no perfect people. But let's quit playing around. We know how we want to live. We know what we want to do. And we know what we yield to. It's time for the people in the body of Christ to be disciplined and to make sure that God is pleased with us as we walk out this journey, and that we're not just using the name Jesus, but that we are in a serious relationship. Brother Manny.
Amen. I mean, I totally agree. I just like to make one point here, and then I'll let Nate chime in as well. I like when people say stuff like, well, what about what you used to do and how you used to act and how you used to be? And, boy, you used to be this, Pastor, and, ooh, First Lady, you used to be like this, First Lady, and this, the First Lady, and Brother Nathaniel, Brother Manny, I'll act like y'all ain't never done nothing. Y'all act like, but you're not claiming the names of Josephian. I don't think Joseph came here and gave up his life and shed his blood on Calvary, innocent blood.
That's
I don't fact. Think Joseph paid the ransom. Brother Manny didn't pay the ransom. I'm claiming to be a follower like you. Here's the difference.
Yeah.
I'm pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling. I'm pressing
So guess what I'm saying? Brother, my sister, let's press together. Don't give up.
Yeah.
Don't live this double life. Don't do it to yourself. Because the word of God says, God ain't no fool. He will not be mocked. You
no,
may
sir.
Be fooling other people.
Yeah.
You may quite possibly be fooling yourself, but you're not fooling God. So what you don't want, and I'm going to pass it to Brother Nate because I got another point I want to make. The Apostle Paul really lay it out here in the New Testament, extraordinary
mm-hmm.
apostle, on how to
yeah.
live, what to do, what to say, what not to do. But I'm going to get to
mm-hmm.
that in a second. But you live in a double life, right? So ask yourself, would you want to get to the end and then be told what you did wasn't good enough? Can you afford to risk it trying to hold on to that little something, something, sucky, ducky, quack, quack, all sucky, sucky now? trying to hold on to it. Some of y'all got some of this stuff you do that you got to have, you got to see, you got to say, you got to feel. You got it with a vice grip. You got that sin with a vice grip. And you busting hell wide open. So maybe, yeah, you saying, oh, well, they on here, boy, they being aggressive with what they saying. This is not inviting. It's so mean. People are working through stuff. I'm trying to clean myself up. Well, when you going to clean yourself up? Every time we see you, we talk to you, saying you trying to get yourself together. As a matter of fact, people who not together, that's God's specialty. So you don't have to try to do nothing. Brother Nate?
Amen, amen. It says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. He gave his most cherished possession, his son. He gave him that we may have a right to everlasting life with him and his father. Now, speaking as a father, I lost my youngest son last year. I didn't give him away, but I lost him due to a car accident. And there is nothing like the pain of losing a child. So I can't even imagine what our Heavenly Father felt losing his son, because he couldn't even look upon his son when he gave up the ghost. They said the skies were as dark as night, and this was the middle of the day, because he couldn't even look upon his son. But he did that for us. For us. He gave us another chance to do better, to be better. And he showed his love, because then what did he do? On the third day, Jesus came back with all power, just for us, just to redeem us. But do we show that appreciation? Do we show that concern to God that thank you for doing this? Thank you for giving us another chance? Do we really care? As both my brothers said, you know, people like to say what you used to be, what you used to do. Yeah, I used to be an alcoholic. I used to drink 40 going north, as some people would say. The corner liquor store I used to go to knew me by name. Had the stuff on the counter waiting for me when I would come in on the 5th and the 20th of payday. That's how bad it was. That anymore, because God told me that's not going to solve your problem. only I can solve your problem. And he took that away from me. So it can be done. It can be done. But do you want to do it, or do you just want to so-called say that you're a Christian? It says in here that, you know, we were bought with a price. So glorify God in our bodies. Because all they're saying is, when people see us, do they see God, or do they see the person you used to be or still are? For me, I want people to see God. I don't want them to even see me. I want people to say, hey, they go to a child of God. They go to a child of God. I used to tell Pastor a while back, I used to drive a paratransit service, and the people would ask me, excuse me, can I ask you a question? I'm like, yeah. Are you a minister? Are you a pastor of a church or something? And I was like, well, I'm a minister. Oh, I just something about you. That's because I'm striving each and every day to be closer to Christ than I was the day before. When I pray in the morning, I ask God to give me the strength to be closer to him today than I was yesterday. And that's all we're trying to be. Nobody's perfect, but you can strive for perfection. You don't have to stop and stay stagnated where you are. God loves everyone. God wants everyone to be saved, to have eternal life with him. He don't want to lose anybody, but it's up to us. That's all I have to say.
Amen. That's fast.
It's incredible, you know, this thing. Well, I'm not going to call it a thing, but it's incredible how God loves us, right? Because he really has surrounded us with an opportunity to have 100% victory as often as we lean into him. And so when you start thinking about how he gives us brand new grace and brand new mercy every single day. So when people start talking about what they can or cannot do and how imperfect that they are, really to me, that just begins to set up an excuse for us to kind of do what we want to do. Because if we're purposely out here doing things, what kind of relationship do we really have with God, if a relationship at all? So it's not me judging you, even though it's coming out of my mouth. It's me really wanting to trigger inside of us all this sense of how much God really set us up for success. Like, we get brand new grace. Think about this. The Bible says he daily loads us with benefits, right? It says that grace and mercy we receive brand new every single day. The Bible says in Psalms 23, goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives. And so God said he'll never leave us nor forsake us. So he has given us this encompassing power of his presence and then this indwelling of the Holy Spirit, that if we just tap in through times of meditation, through times of prayer, through times of studying his word, that God will give us a level of access to him and the kingdom that we can't even imagine. And the things that we have done in times past, God, he's forgiven us of those things. So when people try to throw stuff up in the past about me, I don't even worry about it anymore, because the Bible declares that for those who love God, there's now no more condemnation. And if God ain't condemning me anymore, guess what? People can say what they want to say. Because I'm not here on a smear campaign. I'm not here to condemn anybody. But what I do want the people within the body of Christ to understand is we cannot live any kind of way we want to live. When it's convenient, we do this and we do that. and then just throw grace up and say, no, I got grace. This is this station of grace. It's not about works. No, it's not about works. You're right. But what has God saved us from? That's the question. And he has saved us from destruction, man. He has freed us from being a slave to sin. And we can reach back to Genesis when he says, let me give you dominion over everything. And that includes dominion over sin. Brother Manny.
I want to grant an analogy or I want to bring up a concept really quick of what we're talking about. Okay. Do anyone, I mean, it's obviously not a question for for you, but I want the audience, the listening audience, to think about this. What is a bail bondsman? Nate, you're familiar with the concept of a bail bondsman, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes, I am.
And what is a bail bondsman used for?
To get you out of jail.
Okay. All right. You're familiar with the law. When somebody posts bail, what is that normally used for?
It's supposed to guarantee that person is going to show up for their court date.
Okay.
So it's
but it
the
gets
financial...
you out of, it gets you.
Oh, yeah.
Get you
ahead. Out of jail. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
No, you're right. Yeah, it's a financial. It's supposed to be a financial kind of guarantee that you're going to show up to court. And so we're going to let you out of jail on that merit because you paid this money. Other than that, you would normally just stay in jail.
Okay. And Pastor, you correct me if I'm too far-fetched on this.
Mm-hmm.
When I look at Jesus coming to shed his blood.
Yeah.
As him paying to get me out of jail.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to hold up my end of the bargain and appear in court before my Lord.
Mm-hmm.
The difference is, while I'm out, I need to keep
mm-hmm.
my nose clean. Ain't that what they tell
That's
me?
Right.
Hey, while you out, don't go
That's
nowhere.
Right.
Don't get into no
mm-hmm.
more trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you get arrested again, what's going to happen? You forfeit
Everybody,
that money, don't you?
That's it.
Yep, you lose it.
You lose that money, and you got to stay in jail until your court date. And they liable to tack on some more charges when you appear before the judge. Here's the difference. The blood of Jesus, innocent blood, was shed.
Mm-hmm.
To cover
That's
your
right.
sin.
That's right.
But some of us are out here committing more crimes. And because the blood of Jesus keeps paying to keep us out of jail, we think we can keep committing crimes. But you're going to have to appear before the judge one day. And if you don't show up like you were supposed to show up, they're going to revoke that bail. They're going to charge you.
Brother Manny?
Paul say, he a slave to Jesus. He took it a step further. He didn't say, I'm not just a follower of Jesus. I'm so grateful that he saved me, that he changed and transformed me. I'm a slave to Jesus. And I know that some folk got a problem with that word slave. But here's the difference. Your servitude comes with benefit, comes with access, comes with favor, comes with blessing, comes with a guarantee. Ain't no guarantee in this world, Faith. People can figure a way around guarantees and contracts all day long. But I like that term, slave. I'm a slave to Jesus. You don't belong to yourself. Paul is saying you were bought and purchased. That means something. And so I'm asking, I'm putting the question out there, what does it mean to you, brothers and sisters? Those who profess the name of Christ, say you're a Christian, you go to church every Sunday, paid for you and your sin. He paid the penalty for you. He paid the price. He took your punishment and he took your place. And what are we doing with the opportunity? He bailed us out, and what are we doing with the opportunity? Pastor.
Yeah, I really do love the analogy. The only slight difference is the bail wouldn't be revoked because it's just there for those who wants to partake in it. But the other piece definitely does happen. Instead of going to jail, you just go to hell, and then hell eventually be thrown in the lake of fire. So what I love about it and the beauty of it. God does not force himself on nobody.
That's right.
He is there, Murph and Nate. He's not only just there. It's not like he's just there saying, okay, you know, hey, if you tag me in, you tag me in. If you don't, you don't. No, he said, I'm here and I'm giving you all these tools to be successful. So there's really no excuse for us not to be successful in God. There's really no excuse for us not to be victorious in God. There's really no excuse for us not to be overcomers in God, because God has given us every tool, and including tonight, the text says, the Holy Spirit. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. You are the place where the Holy Spirit is supposed to reside, and the Holy Spirit is there to empower you to live right.
Amen.
So that you can have success, so that you can have eternal life. And everlasting life, and the difference is everlasting life really just puts us back where we originally were supposed to be. Do you understand what I'm saying? The original status pre-sin, and then we just live on. Come on, man. Come on. That's how much God loves us. That he sent his only begotten son to shed his precious blood to pay the ransom. Here you go. This covers it. The perfect lamb. Jesus was without a spot or blemish. The perfect lamb. His blood covered everything. How dare we think it's okay to occasionally just or whatever level of frequency to just be out here doing something with this temple that's housing the Holy Spirit, thinking it's just okay to take it anywhere and do anything with it. Shame on us. So,
amen.
So if we really are in relationship, like we say, and we're not just walking through religion, then, man, our desire, the Holy Spirit's inside of me, I don't have a choice. I mean, I shouldn't even want to do anything else but please God. That should be my thought process. The engine that powers my thinking and my conversation. What do some of these computers have? An i7 processor or the competition they have all different types of processes. Well, my process is the Holy Spirit. That's the engine that's running. And it's telling me, listen, God has so much more for you, but you can only access it through obedience. And listen,
Amen.
I'm not taking my Holy Spirit nowhere he's not supposed to be.
Amen.
May, let's start with you a final comment, and then we'll let Pastor go ahead and close us out.
Amen. It's just a simple fact that if we say that we are Christians, are we living by God's word and what it is to really be a Christian? We need to take stock of ourselves. That means everyone. We're not excluding ourselves because we still have work to be done on ourselves. We are improving every day. We are prone to fall. So we are taking stock of our own selves when we're speaking to you on this radio program. So don't feel bad. Don't feel that we're coming against you. Don't feel that we're pointing fingers at you. Because what does it say? That saying is, when you're pointing your finger at somebody, you get four pointing back at you. So, you know, just take a look in that man in the mirror. Take stock of yourself. If you say that you're a child of God, that you're a Christian, you know, just do your best to emulate that every day. Every day that God allows you to open your eyes, strive to be better that day in him. Amen.
I don't want to just live in sin because when I do that, I evict the Holy Spirit out of my temple. I want to make sure I'm living pleasing to God. And he's given me the ability to not even have to worry about doing it on my own. He's given me the Holy Spirit. God has given me a part of him. He's given me a part of him. That's how much he loves me. And so there's the reason that I'm going to do like Paul said. The old man has to die daily. My flesh has to die every day. I am a new creation. Behold, all old things have passed away. How can we keep resuscitating old dead things when Paul said they should have passed away? You should have had a funeral for those things. They should be dead and gone and buried, never to be dug up again. And so I just want to be the best example I can be because I want Christ to be pleased with me. I don't want to get before him and hear him say that I was the worker of iniquity and to depart from him, that he never knew me. And so I'm just saying to each and every one of us that we got to make sure we keep in mind that God invested such an awesome price to redeem us in the form of his son, Jesus. And he gave us the Holy Spirit to keep us and sustain us. That's our show for tonight. I want to thank everybody for tuning in. Thank Brother Nate and Brother Manny for their contributions. And as only we can in caring church fashion, we want to remind you that God cares, and so does the caring church. Be blessed, everybody. We love you. God bless. Good night.
Amen.
Changed my life. There's not enough words in my vocabulary.